There was a revolt in Paris a month later that led to brutal government reprisals and a whole wave of radicals, Republicans, and others were arrested and tried. This led to the passage of the so-called September Laws of 1835, in which the government imposed strict censorship. It speeded up trials in order to deal with these revolutionaries, and it forced the opposition in France largely underground. There were a number of sources of opposition to the regime that emerged in the period. The legitimists, that is, those who wanted to see a restoration of a real monarch, a Bourbon monarch, were out there, but not really dangerous at this point. The Bourbons had been discredited, divine right monarchy discredited, but these people were still there. There were royalists who didn't see Louis Philippe, this bourgeois king, as a genuine representative of monarchy. There were the Bonapartists, those who still had great fondness for the great Napoleon, who would now focus their loyalties on his nephew, Louis Napoleon, who in 1836 and 1840 had attempted to seize the state in insurrections in Strasbourg and Boulogne. This too, the Bonapartists were not really seen as terribly serious, a serious threat to the regime either. But the Republicans were. Those liberals who were not satisfied with moderate constitutional reform, those liberals who were not satisfied with constitutional monarchy, those liberals who believed that the key was the establishment of a republic. Get rid of the monarchy, universal male suffrage, and in many cases that one hears voices raised in this period for universal suffrage, that is the enfranchisement of women as well. These ideas were particularly prominent among artisans, urban artisans, particularly in Paris, among professionals, especially those of low rank, and with students. Support was therefore not centered in the industrial working class. You have labor unrest on the one hand, attacking abuses or conditions in industry, and on the other hand, a separate attack on the regime that is largely political, wanting to see an extension of the franchise and a republic. The basic program of European republicanism was exactly this. Removal of the monarchy, establishment of universal male suffrage, and slowly, by the 1840s, one also begins to hear echoes in radical republicanism of a social agenda as well, that the social evils of capitalism are going to have to be dealt with. In the mid-1840s, Europe was hit by a series of bad harvests in 1846, 1847. You can almost predict in Europe, certainly in the pre-modern era, you have one bad harvest, you have some dissatisfaction. Two bad harvests, you have real unrest. Three bad harvests, you have a massive uprising. In the 1840s, by the mid-1840s, crops had begun to fail. In 46, 47, there were very bad harvests. The 40s began to be known as the hungry 40s. And this had a ripple effect all the way through the economy. We're not talking about complex late industrial societies at all. The agriculture was still the most important of all of the sectors of the economy. Louis Philippe banned protests, banned political assembly, and so his opponents began to hold banquets. I think this is a marvelously French idea, that you have a banquet and then you have an after-dinner speaker who gets up and who gives actually a political speech. They were political rallies under the guise of banquets. This took France by storm, but was particularly popular in Paris, and a massive, massive protest a la banquet was to be held on February 22nd, 1848. Louis-Philippe banned the holding of this great meeting, which led to rioting, it led to barricades on the streets, and within 3 days,